For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. No doubt you have noticed all around us that the Christmas season is in full swing. For ancient generations, the anticipation of the coming Messiah was on the hearts and minds of those who longed to be set free and live in peace. However, the prophet Isaiah recorded a rather unflattering description of the coming Christ. Pastor Holland directs our attention to the writing of Isaiah, chapter 53, as he begins the sermon, Jesus, the Unlikely Savior.
Now, Isaiah writes about the Messiah coming, and it's important to understand as we approach the Christmas season, I want you to understand he was an unlikely Savior. First of all, the Messiah will appear not as a conquering king, but as a humble servant. The Messiah will not come as with an army, but he'll come in weakness and in suffering. The Messiah will experience pain, he'll experience rejection, and he'll experience death. The Messiah will come, but he will come as one destined to die for the sins of Israel and for the world. Believe me, it was not what they would have expected and not what you and I would expect of a king that was coming. Now, Isaiah writes to tell them that the Savior is coming. But when he does, they need to understand he's not going to be exactly what they're looking for. As we enter the Christmas season, our hearts and thoughts should be turned to the fact of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us on the cross of Calvary. We think sometimes when we think of the one that came into this world, truly today, he does not seem to be the one that would come as a king, but we know that he was because the Word of God says so. Jesus did not come into the world to give us a day to exchange gifts. We come together on Christmas Day, we give each other gifts, and we celebrate and have a wonderful time. We eat a lot of food, but believe me, that's not why Jesus came. He did not come to give us Christmas trees and Santa Claus and all the glitter that we have, and we celebrate that. We have a good time with it, but Jesus literally did not come for that. He didn't come to give us Yule logs or Christmas carols or tinsel or eggnog. He came into the world that he might purchase something for us that was much greater than any Black Friday sale that you've ever attended. He came to purchase salvation for you and I on the cross of Calvary at the cost of his life in dying for you and I. He came to give us something that could not be ordered on Cyber Monday. He came to give us something that can't be wrapped and placed under a Christmas tree. He came with the most important gift of all, and that gift is salvation. I'll tell you the greatest gift I ever received in the world, and if you're saved, the greatest gift you've ever received in the world is the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that one day we're going to spend eternity with him in heaven. However, as wonderful as that is, and as great a truth as we understand, the fact of it is the majority of people sadly do not view Jesus' coming as being that. In fact, in the next few months, in the next few days, there's going to be parties given, there's going to be gifts given, there's going to be all kind of hoopla that's going to go on among people, and literally, it will never cross their mind why they're celebrating Christmas for what it is. Now, if you have your Bibles, open to Isaiah 53, I want you to understand why we titled the message, The Unlikely Savior. First of all, we find in verse number 1, Isaiah writing, he says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we would desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. You know, as we come together, I believe oftentimes we can relate with Isaiah as he comes to the very start of the passage of Scripture and he says, Who hath believed our report? Has somebody ever told you something that seemed to be so unlikely and so impossible that you really was a little bit scared to tell anybody because you thought they would not believe you? I think Isaiah was in that position of giving the message that was given, but I want you to understand that he realized that there was people that was going to have a hard time understanding what he was saying. The word that is given to us here, believed our report, it literally means to have confidence in or to put trust in. The word report stands for a word that is news. Isaiah literally was giving us the good news of Christ coming in order that he might give his life for you and I. And so again, I want you to understand where we're coming from. I want you to go back with me to Isaiah 52 and let me read verses 13 through 15. And here's where Isaiah was reaching back to, who has believed our report. Here was his report. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his vision was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him. But that which hath not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard they shall consider. In this passage, Isaiah is talking about the coming of the Jewish Messiah. As he writes about him, he speaks about his wisdom. He speaks about his exaltation. He speaks about his proven character. He speaks about his coming glory. He describes the Messiah that the Jews were expecting, and it sounds like he's going to be a great king. It sounds like he's going to be a powerful king, one with great power and strength. Obviously, in verse 14, the Bible said they were astonished at thee. His visions were so marred that any man, and his form was more than the sons of man. The word astonished there means appalled. They would see him, his visage, it would be marred. It refers to his appearance. Jesus came to be destroyed. He came to die. You know, we think about the death of Christ, it was not just him laying down and ceasing to breathe. When Jesus came to die, he died an awful death on the cross of Calvary in order that we might have salvation. In verse 15 of chapter 13, he said, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him. The word sprinkle means to splatter. It's an image that is given, if you'll remember, the high priest back in the Old Testament. He would go into the Holy of Holies. He would sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat in order that it might atone for the sins of the people. Now, again, understand that what the priest did, there was no power in the blood of that bull and goat. But what it was an obedience to what Christ said, to go in and sprinkle the blood in order that the sins might be forgiven. That was looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming to die for us. And Jesus does come. Thank God he has come. And when he did come, his blood was sprinkled. His blood was scattered. It was splattered, if you will, and sprinkled about in order that it might cover all nations. There's not a nation under the sun today. There's not a people anywhere that cannot be saved. The Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jesus came for all. And even though the Messiah will suffer, even though he'll come and his vision will be marred, and even though his body will be broken, he's still going to be a king that is going to rule with power and might and strength. He's more than just a babe in a manger. He's the Son of God. He's the King of glory. And today, as Isaiah asked the question, who hath believed our report and whom is the Lord revealed? We can have confidence today in the good news of the Word of God, because even though it is unbelievable, the Bible said, with God, all things are possible. There's so many things in the Bible I can't understand. I don't understand God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all be three in one. But I believe it because the Word of God tells me, and God says His Word is inspired, every single word of it. And even though I cannot comprehend it, I must believe it today. To the Jews, the message of this Messiah was one of foolish weakness. They were looking at one who would come in weakness, and perhaps they would be able to destroy. People could not swallow in their minds that somebody would come in that capacity and be able to save them. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:23, "But we preach Christ crucified, listen, unto the Jews a stumbling block." The Jews did not understand. It was a stumbling block to them. How in the world can this man be our Savior? But I tell you today, even the day in which we live, people still have a hard time swallowing it. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, the Apostle Paul writing said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone." I love that, don't you? "To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." It's a message that Jesus Christ died for our sins. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus died. He didn't pass out. He didn't faint. Jesus died and bled every drop of blood. He was buried. And the third day, He arose victorious over the grave in order that He might save us. The message that anyone believes today is the message of the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God can take a lost person, no matter what their circumstances might be, and yet they can turn to a Christ that's hung on a cross, one that is nailed there, one that literally, as we see Him hanging on the cross and as we read in the Bible, is one that seems now, and understand I'm saying seems, that He's there and there's nothing that He can do for Himself. But you and I know better. We know that He could have come down off that cross. He did not have to stay there. But I tell you, He did stay there in order that He might provide the salvation that you and I needed. But He can take an old dead man like me and like you, who were dead in our trespasses and sin. He can revitalize us and He can re-encourage us and help us that we might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's placed in the Scripture, said that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that believe not, but it's the power of God to those who do believe. I'm grateful today that even though the preaching of the cross, somebody said, "Well, that's foolish. How in the world can a man go to the cross? How can a man die on the cross? How can a man do that in order to save my soul?" Because God said that was what He demanded, and that's what He needed to do. The Bible said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Everyone who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ will one day stand and face Almighty God. John 8:24, "I said therefore to you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." I submit to you this morning, if you believe not that He is He, you will die in your sins, separated from God. So Isaiah had a task. He had to preach to the Jewish people and remind them that they had a coming Savior and a coming King, but he was not the likely one. He was not one that you would think that would be coming. Second of all, He was not only an unbelievable message, but it was an unlikely Messiah. Go back to chapter 53 and verse 2. The Bible said, "For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him."
Amid all the hustle and bustle around us, folks are looking for freedom and peace of mind in all the wrong places. The thought of inner peace being provided by a Savior coming to earth seems to many as unlikely as Isaiah's description. Yet it is true, and it is freely available to all. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.